You know what that sound means? This is Everything Under the Sun, the Soper Sun weekly Thursday radio show. Today, my name is Arthur, and today I'm here with
James Steinler, editor of the Soper Sun. Thank you all for joining us today on Everything Under the Sun, and thank you, Arthur, for co-hosting week in and week out. And you'll never guess, but we have a few guests in here this week. We have another co-host who's actually the man behind the guitar to this intro song. Welcome, Ken Pletcher. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you, folks?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
I don't know if I'd call myself a co-host.
Well, you're a co-host today.
Oh, I see. By default, eh?
By default. And we're glad to have you in, but Ken, you recorded that intro quite a few years ago now.
Well, whenever we started this again.
Yeah.
Over in the next studio, right here.
Yeah, over in the production
studio. With Raleigh.
Studio.
It was hilarious.
With old Raleigh Burley. Well, thanks for joining us, Ken, and thank you for letting us play this Everything Under the Sun song each week. It's a wonderful rendition, one of my favorites, almost as good as the Beatles, I would say.
Oh, come on now. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Well, folks, if you haven't already, you can find a fresh issue of the Soper Sun at a yellow newsstand near you, chock full of fresh information from the past week. Scuttlebutt even jumped this week just because we're trying to get as much as we can to the people to keep you informed of what's happening. The good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between as much as we can. And today we have a very special show for you. We have the executive director of Response in Basalt here with us to talk about an upcoming event, Summit of Hope, an evening with Lakpa Sherpa. So thank you so much for joining us, Shannon, with Response.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And then we also have with us Allison Osius, who will be moderating the discussion coming up for this event at the Pepke Auditorium in Aspen on August 13th. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you. Thanks for having us all.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. Sorry, Shannon. I might as well throw out your last name, Shannon Meyer. Is it Meyer?
It is.
Okay, good. I always hate it when I flummox on the air. Well, thank you for joining us and for offering to share a little bit of Lakpa's story, which is really powerful. Before we get into that, I'd like to hear a little bit more about Response and the important work that you do for people here in the Valley.
Sure. So Response is the organization serving survivors of domestic and sexual abuse, stalking, and human trafficking in the Upper Roaring Fork Valley. It was actually founded back in 1983 by a group of volunteer women in Aspen who saw a need for services for women who were experiencing abuse. It was the start of what was then called the Battered Women's Movement across the country, and the organization just grew from that point forward. We are now a 6-staff agency. We're based in Basalt, and we are very fortunate with the help of the community to open the Holly Center for Hope and Healing in February of 2025, which is the first domestic and sexual abuse center in the Roaring Fork Valley. It is a shelter for survivors and their children where they can stay for up to 2 months, and we have 24 beds. So it's been really an amazing resource to add to the community.
And I mean, anywhere you go, unfortunately, nowhere is there's domestic violence, domestic abuse occurs everywhere, right? And so I imagine that there's an equal or need here in the Valley.
Yeah, that's so true. A lot of times people will say to me, well, that doesn't happen here in our beautiful valley. And I say, what would make us any different? The national statistics are that 1 in 3 women and 1 in 5 men will experience some form of domestic abuse in their lifetime. and every 68 seconds in this country, a woman is sexually assaulted. So unfortunately, we are no different, but we are just very fortunate to have resources in the Valley for people to go to seek out help. Having the Holly Center in Basalt has made us a lot more visible to survivors looking for help in our community. And we are looking at possibly doubling our numbers from previous years this year from what we're seeing so far. And I do think that is not an increase in violence, but an increase in awareness. Mm-hmm. And we've had great publicity in our community as well. It's just really important that everyone who needs help knows how to get it. And that's things like this are making that happen.
Absolutely. Well, we're happy to be a small part of it. And it's one of those things that often can go unreported. And people knowing that these resources are out there, then they'll be more apt to reach out or report when they are victims of ongoing abuse or an instance of abuse.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned when we were chatting before the show, well, we can't say where the shelter is, right? And that is a misconception because in the past, domestic abuse agencies always had confidential safe houses. And there's really been a shift in probably the last 5 or 6 years nationally towards what we have, which is called a public-facing shelter. And there are three reasons for that shift. One would be that with technology and tracking devices, it's really hard to keep a location confidential over time. Confidential shelters were built really relying on their secrecy to keep people safe. Instead, we built a building that is very secure, very safe, and part of our security is people knowing where we are, including the Basalt police who drive by every day. And the third, and perhaps most important, is destigmatizing those people who are suffering from abuse. So rather than not being able to tell people what they're experiencing and where they're staying, we still have confidentiality in the shelter. You can't bring other people in, but the place is visible and is saying to our community, this is an issue that does affect folks in the Roaring Fork Valley, and here's a place that people can come for help. And I will say, thanks to our amazing architect and building team, it is a beautiful, welcoming building, and everyone that stayed there has been really happy to have that resource. We have had, since we opened a year and a half ago, I believe we've had 44 survivors and 38 children and 10 pets stay with us.
10 pets, too. Wow.
Correct.
Well, that is so wonderful. And just such a need, and wonderful that people have an option, because I think that's, and especially in like a domestic situation, it's like you don't necessarily feel like you have another place to go. You know, you don't feel like you can go pay for a hotel room or stay and bring your kids. You know, so just having a shelter and it being public facing, too, that's just really wonderful. Is it the only public-facing shelter in the valley,
Another public-facing shelter over in the Eagle Valley. Okay. And we actually learned a lot from them when we were building this building a couple of years ago, took lessons from them. I do want to mention before I forget, which is our 24-hour crisis helpline. So obviously people can come to our building, but most crucially, we do have a number, which is 970-925-SAFE. 925-7233, and that's staffed by trained advocates 24/7. And people can get more information at our website as well, which is responsehelps.org.
responsehelps.org. You heard it, folks. So spread the word, and if you know anyone in need, let them know that they can call the hotline. And again, that's 970-925-7233 or SAFE. Thank you so much, Shannon, for doing this important work for the folks in our valley.
Yeah, happy to.
Yeah. Has it ever been at capacity, I'm curious, in the last year and a half since it's been opened?
Yeah, we actually hit capacity for the first time early this spring, and we've been at or close to capacity since then, which is a little surprising for us. We built a building that was one apartment larger than the one over in Eagle Valley, and they have a larger service area, bigger population they feed into. And as of 2022, they had not yet been full. So we said, oh, we'll build one more room and we'll be fine for a while. But it was clearly a resource that the community needed because we filled up pretty fast. I will say that we are fortunate to also be able to help survivors move into places of their own. We have some rental assistance so that survivors in the shelter are not just sent out with no resources to help them establish themselves. And that's really crucial for people just getting into a new place on their own after they leave the shelter. We do intensive case management, helping people find housing and moving into it, finding employment, improving their financial situations.
Wow, so it's not just like they're not just coming and getting a place to stay, but also you're looking at the next steps as well.
Correct, yep. Cool. Helping them on their journey to independence.
I wanted to ask, what is the age groups that you guys, because I also saw that there's resources for kids too. There's adults and kids allowed. So what does the age group look like?
So primarily our survivors are adults, 18 and over. We are very fortunate to have great partners in Riverbridge Child Advocacy Center. So if there is a child dealing with issues of assault, we're going to refer them to Riverbridge because that's where they really specialize in that. But we serve, as I said, lots of children of survivors and folks down to, we will serve folks down to 15. We won't put people in the shelter without a parent if they're under 18.
Okay. Well, great. And thank you for telling us about response, Shannon. I want to be a little bit mindful of time. We're approaching halfway through our show, and we got a couple other voices in the room, including Allison Osius. And Allison, we become buddies. Allison works with the Sopra Sun as well and has written several pieces for us and is also moderating this event, bringing Lakpa Sherpa to the Pepke Auditorium in Aspen on the 13th. Allison, how do you know Shannon, or how did you become acquainted with
how
response?
How do I know you? I've known Shannon for a long, long time, and she will be up on stage also asking questions of Lakpa Sherpa after the film. I've known you through the climbing and outdoor and Carbondale world.
Small town of Carbondale. I reached out to Allison because we really want to feature both aspects of Lakpa's story. So she is a woman, Nepalese woman, Sherpa woman, who has climbed Everest 11 times. It's an amazing success story. She's also a survivor of domestic violence. I feel very well equipped to ask her questions about her survivorship, but really wanted someone from the world of alpine ascents and mountaineering and climbing to cover that part of the conversation with Lakpa. So I reached out to Allison, and she fortunately was able to help us.
Yeah, and sorry, and Allison too, like, because you were the editor, you worked with Rock and Ice for a long time.
Yes, I was an editor at Climbing Magazine and Rock and Ice, and then Climbing Magazine again, and then Outside Magazine. And now a proud contributor to the Sopra Sun.
Yes!
Going up in the world.
I work with the American Alpine Journal as well. I interviewed Lakpa Sherpa 6 years ago when she had just done her 10th summit. And I was just really curious to speak to her and hear what she had to say as to how she ever got started. Her story is so improbable. She had nothing on her side. She was one of 11 children. She would take her brother to school 2 hours. She uses the word carry. And then bring him back home and sit outside the school because it was only for boys. Mm-hmm. And at 15, she became a porter. That was really unusual. And she was the only girl porter traveling in the mountains.
Tell us what a porter is.
Someone who carries loads for other people, especially visitors.
Okay. And this would be in the Himalayas.
This would be in the Himalayas. Thank you. Yeah. She's from that region. She became a porter. She was strong. She was very good. She eventually ended up on Everest as a kitchen worker. She was called a kitchen boy,
right?
A kitchen boy.
And she was cooking.
Okay.
And then she became a climber. And the only Nepali woman, it was almost braver of her to be the second Nepali woman up on the summit than the first, because the very first was flying in the face of every expectation, and she got to the top and did not survive. She got stuck up there. And so when Lakpa Sherpa got this notion, the only woman that she'd ever known of
had died trying.
But she went. She made it happen through perseverance, and she, among her group of women, was the only one to reach the top, and she came down safely. And she just keeps doing it and being solid and being a mountain guide.
How many times has Lakpa summited Everest now?
11.
11 times. And she also is one of 11 siblings, too.
Yes, she is. Yeah. I had to put that together.
That just did.
You're right.
And she has announced that she's going to go back and try every year for the next 10 years to keep climbing it.
Wow.
She's 53.
She's 53. Wow. I mean, what a feat. And to be the first, like, the women's world record holder, but also the first Nepali woman to summit Everest.
To summit and survive.
And descend as well.
And descend. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. And just for our listeners, if you're just tuning in, you are tuned into Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host, James Steinler, this week, along with our co-host, Arthur Cherith. And this week, we are speaking with Shannon Meyer of Response, a nonprofit serving people who are victims of domestic abuse or domestic violence here in the Valley. And we are also here with Allison Osius, who is helping Shannon moderate an event coming up at the Pepke Auditorium again on August 13th, featuring Lakpa Sherpa. And as we were just noting, the women world record holder for the number of summits up Everest. That's 11 times. She's planning on going back again, and also a survivor of domestic abuse. So thank you both again for being with us. And thank you, Ken, for being with us as well. Ken, do you have any questions that you'd like to follow
up? Yeah, I'd like to ask Shannon. I mean, you talked about this a little bit in the article, but how you got in touch with Lakpa, how you heard about her and realized that this was really an ideal opportunity for the Valley and for Response. And for everybody.
Yeah, so this movie, Mountain Queen, was made by Netflix about Lakpa and her journey and her life. And I had spent some time trekking in Nepal, loved it, love everything about the mountains, and saw that. I was like, oh, I need to watch that. Little did I know, I was not just watching a story about mountaineering and this woman accomplishing the tallest mountain of the world, but also about her survivorship as a woman experiencing domestic violence in this country, to the point where she and her two children went and had to live in a domestic abuse center like ours for 6 months to escape the violence that they were experiencing in their family home. And I just, you know, just a light bulb went off for me. We don't need a gala. We don't, you know, this is a really unique possible event for Response, because our mountain town, we love everything about mountains. We love to hear stories about people achieving great things, and combine that with the mission of Response, serving survivors of domestic and sexual abuse. It just seemed like it was a match made in heaven. So I actually just Googled her, found her email address, reached out, wow, and told her who we were and what we wanted to do. We wanted to show her film and then have her up there and speaking to people about her experiences, and she said yes. So we're very excited.
That's so cool. And I want to apologize, because I have used the term victim, but I hear, and I've heard this before, but it's survivor, because these people are survivors. They're strong, and it takes strength to get through these situations.
Absolutely. Thanks for that note.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think you might want to mention something just about Lakpa's perseverance over time, not only with the domestic violence, but just all the other components of her life, and how after enduring the period when she was separating from her husband, how the kind of jobs she had to do in order to make enough money to keep climbing, but then also getting much more skilled as a guide.
Yeah, Allison mentioned her coming into the world of mountain guiding, you know, against adversity, against cultural norms and stereotypes. She met an Anglo climber, I'll say, at base camp, and they established a relationship. Turns out he was Romanian. He brought her to the States. She was illiterate. She had been learning Romanian from him and thought she was learning English. So she arrived in this country really helpless, really isolated, which is kind of a recipe for a domestic abuse situation. She quickly had two young children to take care of, and the work that she could do was, you know, work that's available to people that can't read or write. She was cleaning houses and washing dishes at Whole Foods. And amazingly, to this day, she still does that work when she's not going to Nepal and climbing big mountains. So,
or on speaking.
On speaking junkets to Aspen. We're going to show her a good time.
And she leads hikes.
She does. She has established a guiding company now called Hiking with Lakpa.
Is that in Connecticut? Or?
She will take people. She's hoping to take people up Everest. She can guide up Everest.
Connecticut.
Yes, Connecticut.
New York.
Go ahead,
Everest, all around, possibly Colorado when she's here.
And she has a goal of climbing the highest peak in every state. So we're hoping to get her up Mount Elbert while she's here.
Nice. Yeah. And she also ascended K2. Is that right?
I think she's climbed it once and hopes to climb it again.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, great. She climbed it in 2023. Yep. Took a break from Everest to K2.
Much harder.
And the reason I thought about that was, yeah, exactly. The reason I thought about that is because Elbert is not a very difficult mountain to climb.
She could run up it.
Yeah. But, and, you know, K2, I've heard, is probably one of the most difficult mountains to summit.
It is, yeah. Second highest, and it's just
brutal.
Yeah, steep and.
Weather is tough. And
terrible. Pakistan, just in general, has very bad weather.
And I think one of the great things, Allison and I got to speak with Lakpa on Zoom last week and just sort of talk through the event and what questions we're going to ask her. You know, of course, with the language barrier, we're not going to do audience questions because it's going to be hard for her to process at that speed. But questions coming at her from people she might not understand well. So we went through the questions and just really got a sense of her, wouldn't you say, amazing enthusiasm, like her passion and love for the mountains. And
well, she's so charismatic and expressive and animated. And she's thought so much about what she does and why she does it. She spent a lot of time there. Mm-hmm. And she's thought a lot about the risk and the benefits. And it has also, Everest has been a way to her to a better life.
A common theme that I'm seeing in this that's really inspiring is, especially with domestic violence situations, very much it can feel like being a survivor and just surviving. But not only has she done that, but she's also accomplished so much, and she's not just surviving, but she's thriving. And I think that that becomes a very influential story for a lot of people, because it really is taking authority over your own life and having that kind of autonomy and taking back a lot of, this is my life and I'm going to accomplish what I want to, which is really inspiring.
And she loves the mountain. She loves that mountain. She knows it so well. She knows its dangers, when to go fast because of avalanche dangers, where to stop and rest in a safe area and then go fast again. Right. She's used to managing a lot. Mm-hmm. And she loves being there. And she says, I have no education, but I know this mountain very well.
Allison, talk about the question you asked her about her daughters when we were speaking.
Oh, sure. I asked her about what she would like to teach her daughters. And she said, I told my daughters not to compare themselves to other people. All that matters is to follow what's in your heart. It's important to be your own leader. Your own leader.
That's beautiful.
And she also mentioned when we were talking, her daughters do her social media, and we communicate by email, I think, through one of her daughters, and that she's so proud to see where they are now. What they've been through in their lives, and how they're now saying, "Mom, can I help you with this? Mom, do you need help with this?" It's
And you get to know them in the film, which is showing.
Okay, great.
Next week on August 13th, both daughters are in the film and are very forthcoming.
Yeah, it seems like her children are very supportive. Does she have more children than her two daughters?
She has one older son who, from what I've read in terms of background, he's simply older and out of the house, so he's in the film a little, but not a lot. And the daughters are the ones who you really get to know in the film.
And her strength in relationship comes out early. She had her son with a Nepalese man who didn't treat her well, and fooled around, and she divorced him, and that was extremely unheard of in that place and that time. So,
well, we have about 3 minutes left, so I'd like to get to a couple more questions, or at least another question, Ken.
Let's see. I was just thinking of this now. I think that one of the points that I've seen in various places is that her example has made a difference for Nepalese women and Sherpa women in particular. Education now is in Nepal, women, I think about 70% are educated as opposed to less than 10 before. My understanding is that she's been quite the role model for a lot of this change. Do you have any thoughts on that?
There's been a ton of publicity about her ascent. There was a ton of publicity when the first woman, who I'm sorry I cannot remember her name, summited and then died on the way down. There were statues about her, and that really brought the possibility of women in the mountains to the general public. But, you know, as Allison said, she didn't make it down. And then Lakwa comes along, and she does it not once, but twice, then 11 times. So, yes, she is a very well-known figure now, and she speaks very passionately about women being able to do whatever they set their minds to, which is not a message a lot of young Nepali women were getting 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, and like what Arthur was just saying as well, it's resonating, just like, because when you're in that survival mode, that's what you're trying to get through. But then hearing from another survivor, like, who's a badass and who has accomplished so much, like, okay, I'm going to get through this too. I've seen that someone has done it, and I can get there too. So I want to thank you all for joining us on the air today. Folks, you can check out this amazing, extraordinary, as Ken Pletcher put it in the beginning of his article, event, Summit of Hope, an evening with Lakpa Sherpa at the Pepke Auditorium in Aspen on August 13th. The doors open at 6 p.m.
And tickets on our website.
The event starts at 6:30, and you can find tickets at
www.responsehelpswithans.org, and you can also buy tickets at the door.
Awesome. Thank you, Shannon.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Allison, and thank you, Ken, for being with us today.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Great story.
Great story.